Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, a station dedicated to the concept that all manifestations of the divine are equally valid. Join Reverend Terry Power HP, Robin McKean, and all the hosts for programming covering a wide range of spiritual topics, right here on Blog Talk Radio.
Forest, a safe place where we have the freedom to think about life without judgment. We take a look at society, we examine it, and we allow for the possibility of something new, something different. And now, here's your host, Alan Ritter.
Well, welcome everybody to this week's episode of An Emerging Forest. And this is the next to last day of July 2017, the 30th to be exact, just a little bit after 9 o'clock on a Sunday night. As always, this is definitely a live broadcast call-in program. If you wish to call in, the number is 646-564-9714. Give me a few minutes to get to you. This week, I have something to talk about, but I was actually reflecting in the moments before the program started, and I want to start in a slightly different place. Because the tougher circumstances are, the more that's being tossed at you, or the more socially unacceptable circumstances that are happening, the more, in general, we're encouraged to, quote-unquote, get help or talk to someone else about it. And for myself, in those circumstances, what I found is that I could talk to other people, but they wouldn't have what I wanted. They wouldn't have the solution that I wanted. They wouldn't have anything that I wanted. And what I found was the solution that I had to find wasn't in the advice of psychotherapists, wasn't in the pharmacopoeia of psychiatrists, wasn't in the yoga practices or the meditation practices, and it definitely wasn't in the mental wards of hospitals, etc. Because I went to those places and came away from them without the answers, or more concretely than that, came away from those places knowing that they didn't have the answers, and that the answers that I wanted or the understanding that I wanted was inside of myself. It literally was not outside of myself. It was inside of myself. This is also pretty interesting when, of course, we reflect back on the development of an emerging forest being where is the breath? The breath is everywhere, and also the breath is on the inside. But the breath is a manifest thing. The breath is a manifestation of the mind, and if all of the things of the breath is not giving you an answer, then the answer is other than the breath. And, of course, that is the rest of your soul, the part of your soul that's not taking part in the manifest. So I just feel compelled to talk about dark times and to talk about what you find in dark times and why you should have patience with dark times, not to run away from them, because they're there if you're in isolation or if you're physically injured or if there is something that's been taken away from you. There's something other than what's been taken away from you that's staring you right in the face that you need to work on, or that's basically saying, see me, you need to remember me. And the one part of my journey that I can talk about openly is right after my mother died in January of 2013, there was a little bit of, you know, formalities and moving along and getting to someplace else. But I spent the next 18 months in pretty much in isolation, asking friends a little bit for help and not getting any help from friends, and going in and out of hospitals because I was having some symptomology, and going in and out of mental wards, trying to, once the situation was over, receiving the answer or knowing the answer sort of on the way to the hospital for the final time, that the answer was not in the hospital and that I would have to have patience arriving at the answer, because the answer was not external, the answer was internal. The answer, or the beginning, the crack in the wall that I understood just at an odd time in the middle of the morning after having watched a nonviolent communication workshop video that was 3.5 or 4.5 hours long. Watched it all night because I knew I wasn't going to sleep anyway. Something clicked inside of me. I'm not even sure why it clicked because of that video, but what clicked was everything's okay, because what I had been doing is I had been blaming myself, because I was my mom's major caregiver, and she had made choices, you know, in concert with me, but then as she became more and more incapacitated, I was making more and more of the choices, and of course the outcome was the death of her body, and I had to get past my self-blame for that event. And the way I got past it was understanding that whatever behavior we co-authored, whatever circumstances we co-authored, it was a gift for both of us. And literally that's the mathematics of all circumstance for everyone. And when I talk about this with people who have opinions about good and bad, and I still have some internal opinions about good and bad, when I talk to people about that, they're like, well, here's a circumstance, don't you think that's bad? And you get pressured into saying what's socially acceptable, because you just basically have to weigh, do I want to associate with this person anymore? Do I want to burn bridges? Do I want to have this person think that I believe a certain way? And you have to sort of come to a realization of a certain level of dishonesty with that person. And the people who I've been able to be the most honest with are the people that I believe I'm closest with, the people who understand the mathematics of everything being just experience and society being the map, the moral map over that, and society being able to change that definition at a moment's whim. And, you know, 50 years from now, certain things will be, you know, double both thumbs up, and certain things will be both thumbs down, and it'll be very different. It can be experience, and allowing oneself to have experience can be very, very trendy. So I would really like to encourage everyone to be patient in dark times, and to not, you know, not dig your heels in to remain there, but understand that there's value there. Understand that you did a lot of work and a lot of manifesting to get there. And in some cases, maybe it was this whole life's work. And as you know, I would say that this whole life is a very small amount of, a very small end piece of your true soul, quote-unquote, age, or your stacked experience in your soul. So it was a lot of effort to get here, and so be patient with it, and be understanding if it doesn't leave you right away, because decades in this life, or centuries in this life, or even, you know, millennia, or quote unquote hundreds of thousands of years, is an incredibly short period of time. Because of boredom, we do tend to change up circumstances, but you'll be back in the same circumstance to build up your long-term, quote-unquote, your long-term experience with that experience has to be built up somehow, but we do tend to get bored easily, so we probably switch out of experience A into experience B, unless you're totally aware of it and have a light heart. So maybe what I'm encouraging everyone to have is to have a light heart with yourself, to have a light heart with circumstance, and just to be a little bit more aware that, okay, when something really bad is happening, it's not happening because the universe doesn't like you. It's happening because that's where you're supposed to be, and you're supposed to be drinking from that cup. So that's sort of the part of the tonight's program that I didn't anticipate talking about. And now I'd like to go into sort of more of what I actually prepared to talk about, as it were. So I've talked about this subject, but I actually thought about it from a different way, a different perspective, and developing it and then having it go through something, or having it actually generate a concept that I want to generate tonight. And the topic that I want to start with, or part one of tonight's talk after our 15-minute preamble, is the direction of the present society. Now, of course, the direction of the present society is one we all need. It is not amoral. It is not moral. It is experience. And so it's fine, but let's look at the direction of the present society. Just by looking at what's manifest with the breath, what's manifest out there in front of us. Less fertile lands, less fertile crops, and as a result, less thoughts facilitated in our minds. In general, this social direction has been fought for by a group of people and created by a group aligned with the Masons and their great work. In an area, and we're supposed to be living in a time of quote-unquote or supposed high technology, and I've introduced this other concept in past shows, but the level of actual used technology has moved from using the living highest technology, which you could look at and say it's a maple tree with vast eons of development, into, okay, it comes into being from a wasteless source. It leaves being in a wasteless fashion. It does an untold and unknowable number of jobs. And it's just there, and it's amazing. But what we're using is we're using ego-driven high technology, which are computer, et cetera, items in this vastly inferior digital age of technology. So right away, that points to a complete social ignorance about the nature of the nature, not of technology, but the nature of nature and the nature of technology within nature. So nature is connected, I mean, living nature, and I would say everything is living, nature is completely connected. And maybe even digital nature is connected too, but we're not using that part of it. We're just using the manifest, quote-unquote, dead objects. So nature is completely connected and hosts infinitely old souls who bring their experience and connections to the interaction. They also bring their own soul, which is able to create a reality around them. So if you can look and say, okay, I'm writing with a pencil, and the pencil has been through an industrial process, and I would say because it's been through an industrial process, it's no longer living. It's gone through a process which has unsold the original wood and the original components, so that what you're sketching with or what you're writing with is actually an unsold object. It's the same, and I would say the same thing about digital technology. It's unsold. So what the Masons wish to hide is the Masons wish to hide, and we go along with the illusion. The Masons wish to hide the individual's power and the individual's stacked power when they are manifesting or when they are working with living, quote-unquote, sold technology. And the Masons wish to hide that power and say that the only the collective central power or only the collective manifest dead power of and might of machines and might of stacked computing power is the actual power. You can see that in wars where it's the number of guns or the pounds of TNT is seen as being the asset, the number of rifles in you know, the number of battalions and the number of the number of armies that are actually fielded is shown in military planning to be the most important facet. It's not the quality, or it's not the it's not even considered what the, not the quality of the unit, but the soul power of the unit is not even considered. It's not alluded to, not discussed. And what I would say is with this initial pick of what the direction of the society is, this is where the law is. This is where the propaganda is. This is where most people's minds want to be enjoying their life. That's why this experience is being catered to, because most people here want to be enjoying their life within that experience. So to perpetuate that experience and to continue its social direction, this is where the laws of the society are. The laws of society are, of course, wishing to maintain the society. And the laws of the society is all for hospital worship, worship of dead pill medicines, cutting out of body parts, and then the enemy germ theory, the enemy in general theory. And just from that simplistic understanding, and without having to do any further research, you can ask yourself the question, is this for me? Is this a cup of tea that I wish to drink? Is this a society that I wish to perpetuate? Is this something that I wish to contribute my efforts toward perpetuating? That's a question. And it's not for me to answer it for you. It's for me to answer it for me. I'm not interested in less and less fertility, less and less species, and less experience, less and less rain colors in the rainbow to experience. So where is another such person as myself? If the society is being voted for by those who participate in it, and I'm not saying that everyone is advertising that they want less species. I think most people are advertising that they want more species, but they still continue to work within a system whose real goals, not stated goals, are 180 degrees in the other direction. Where are other people that actually see this for real? And what is this process? What starts to give me clues as to who I am? When did this process start for me? And is it when I start to see the larger landscape and feel disaffected from society, or is it earlier in my life when I never interact with many of the standard constructs of the society, when I never am outwardly social, or when I am outwardly social earlier in life, which happened in my life, an event happened and I was pushed away from the normal path. So I would say that at some point, if you are a person who is outside of the society, and I'm not saying you're going to be outside of the society at a particular point in your life, and you may get pushed outside of the society at a very late time in your life. It's completely up to your soul, up to your path. And it's interesting to say, oh, I've been pushed away from the normal path, and you might think of there being many, many normal paths I could use a moralistic analogy. You can be a moral person or you can be an amoral person, but you can still be existing in the society. You can be on the dark side of life, or you can be on the light side of life. But I've never really felt attracted to being on either side of life in this culture. And it's not something that I've been able to vocalize until really recently, saying, you know, now I finally understand society a little better, and I understand its mathematics, and I finally see why I just never really joined in. And then because I can see why I never really joined in, I can start to say, how am I going to satisfy my thirst for life? And I can start to get a handle on saying, oh, I can start to get a handle on the things that I want to do in my life. The things that will bring me satisfaction is actually doing as much as I can to step outside of society as I understand it, do my best to create projects for myself, to bring myself satisfaction outside of society, because I've studied society and I've studied who I am enough to be happy I'm happy all the time, but to understand myself enough to say, oh, this is where I have to go, or this is the general direction that I need to go, and all of the clues of all of my life point me in this direction. So at this point, I'd like to take the break, and I'd like to play the song that never gets old for me, Dar of the Bard, Green and Gray. See you on the other side.
The 1st of May, a man in black came walking into a wooden glade, following the sounds of pipes on this beautiful spring day, high from the music that they made. But what beheld him within that place? A look of recognition fell across his face. Oh Lucifer, oh Lucifer, why do you appear to me? For I am a man of God, a priest. I'm no devil.
Tune in to International Pagan Radio. You can hear your favorite artists such as Dave the Bard, Tuatha De Dea, Spiral Rhythm, S.J. Tucker, Murphy's Midnight Rounders, and many, many more. Join us for exciting shows like Ask a Witch and Storytime with Rook as well. www.internationalpaganradio.com on the net or on TuneIn Radio on your mobile devices. Join us on Facebook and Twitter too. International Pagan Radio, all pagan, all the time.
Welcome back to an emerging forest on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. We hope everyone was able to stretch their legs and get a drink. Now, Back to Alan.
Well, welcome back. Talking about when you start to understand who you are and when you start to understand where society is going. Society is being directed by a group of people because that's what they want to see. That's where their adventure is going. That's the color of the rainbow that they wish to manifest. And what I would say is there's other colors of the rainbow to manifest, and all of the colors of the rainbow to manifest can coexist to some extent, but maybe this isn't all of existence, this one area that we find ourselves in. Maybe there are other areas of existence, or maybe there's a rise and fall of various types of existence or various colors of the rainbow. But what I feel is that I feel called to manifest a color of the rainbow that isn't present to as much as I would like it to be in this society. It's present to a very small extent, and to be in the circumstance that I want to be in with more experiences and more species and more fertility, there has to be some, in this area, some large changes, some large-scale changes, or at least at this point, that's what I believe. So from our study and from our research and from looking at the society, we can come to another realization, which is actually part two of tonight's discussion, and that all signs point to the theme of the present society, point to it's a very interesting theme that this present society is actually acting out. And how I've expressed that in words is we are living a life in the land of the revolt against nature, because what we're actually, how I see our actions, or the actions that are quote-unquote in vogue and taught in the majority of locations and are the present trends of the society, is to be acting against one's biological nature, to be acting against the biological nature of the planet. And once again, this is not a judgment against the society. It is it's just an understanding of its direction. And it's also not saying, it's also, we have to step outside of and understand fertility a little more, because fertility is infinitely increasable in the positive direction, and I would say finitely decreasable until you don't have, quote unquote, don't have fertility anymore. So there's sort of a there's no fertility in the one direction, the direction we seem to be going in, and we can understand, okay, if this is all quote unquote dead, then there's no fertility. But in the other direction, it's probably got more than one path, but it has an incredible amount of diversity and just a sort of a really shocking upside potential. And people then start to gain the ability at some level of fertility to be self-actuating and to basically say, I have enough fertility here to take care of myself. I have enough understanding of the larger group of people to understand that I'm not threatened by other parties. So at some point on the upside of fertility, larger groups of people are not controllable. Larger groups of people are not herdable within the confines of fear and mythology. So the present society type can't even exist. The present democracy, the present nationalistic, the national fascism, or whatever you want to call it, just can't exist in a more fertile society. The land speaks to the people and says, well, you don't really need anything other than myself. Why are you voting? And they're not going to come threaten you because they know that you're a part of the rainbow that they want to maintain in order to have diverse experience. So why would they come threaten you? And at that point, everyone's independent and everyone understands that it will just continue. So it's a really interesting area of psychology or catch-22 or downward spiral. It's really twisted and unnatural, but not in a judgmental way. It's just a really strange fragment that we seem to be exploring right now. The not appreciating oneself to any greater depths, possibly not even acknowledging that one has a long-lived soul, and not seeing in that the natural inclination to want to increase everyone's fertility and increase the plants that one's consuming to manifest one's body and mind just as a natural course of events. That you're just naturally attracted to doing that because the rewards of more diverse experience, the rewards are just so much greater. But even understanding that contrast, we are here. So, as I said earlier in the program, and unknowingly and connecting with it now, this is, one could consider this to be a patch of that darkness that we are needing to connect with, and that it has something for us that we need to see, and I respect myself enough to know that I would not have been inspired to say those words at the beginning of the show if, and now serendipitously, but not serendipitously, and just be staring at that understanding that we can all be very aware of where we are, but it doesn't lessen its value. We can quote unquote not like it, but it doesn't at all lessen its value, because here we are, and maybe we have these long and shorter term on less than a year timescale, quote unquote good and bad patches, which is sort of what I was talking about at the beginning of the show. Maybe some bad patches are multi-year, and then to have patience with them. But then you can look at the much longer cycles and much deeper cycles of entire society's behavior, and you can say, oh, that's interesting. It seems at that point in experience or quote-unquote time land, the entire society was going in a particular direction, and it was going in the direction of less and less fertility, which is basically, it was an anti-nature society as opposed to one that would be going in a pro-nature or a expanding nature direction. So it's interesting that I sort of use these programs or sort of really connect with these programs in seeing just spur of the moment inspirations to introduce topics. And so where it's really the other thing that I really find interesting is to appreciate the mathematics of the situation, but then to look at the dominant philosophical stories of our culture. And I am not a scholar in these matters at all. I have been and still am very much pushing away from these modern philosophies or semi-modern philosophies. But it's interesting to understand the biblical parallels to what I'm calling living a life in the land of the revolt against nature, because it's sort of, or it's not sort of, it's very parallel to the biblical stories of Lucifer and things like that. Now, I have always internally thought that Lucifer teaches a lot, and Lucifer basically exercises a lot of discern, requires one to pass through lands and many, many, many different situations in which one encounters riddles over many, many lifetimes and becomes stronger and is able to pass through understanding the riddles at some point and continue on to the next set of riddles one must understand. So I find it very interesting that I haven't come from a biblical background, and I have come from an amoral background, or have been introduced to thinking about life in an amoral fashion. But one of my acquaintances right now is someone who is very biblical, and he basically says to me, it's really interesting because I see where you come from. You come from a place that's just very, very not having read the Bible, not having studied the Bible, but all of the things that you say are very, very parallel, and we agree on a lot of things, but he gets his knowledge base from the Bible, and I get my knowledge base from looking at society and thinking about society. So just find that very interesting, and actually, you know, to think, well, I thought I was doing all this work and that it wasn't connected to something, and I get to this point and find out that not only is it really connected with something, it's really connected with what is supposed to be the living historical story of our history. Now, I will say that I personally believe that the Bible is a social control object, but there are deeper meanings to it, and I will freely admit its utility to wake yourself up and to actually read deeper into it or to read however one reads. And I'll also say that I'm not a scholar of the Bible. I'm a scholar of thinking about how old the technology of a tree is, and then just looking at where the society is going and coming to this conclusion of being in a revolution against one's own nature and being in a circumstance of self-hatred, which is, and being in this interesting psychological fragment, which is once again where we're supposed to be, but being in that interesting psychological fragment is so much like the fallen angel story, so much like in the Bible it's looked at moralistically and it's looked at as being a negative circumstance, where I don't look at any circumstance as being negative. I look at it as being circumstance. And I look at it as being needed circumstance, otherwise it wouldn't exist. So I want to tie in what I mentioned at the start, which was, we're here, and for myself, I'd like to move away from these circumstances, but I also need to have patience with the circumstance and understand that the circumstances are going to last as long as they last, that they are incredibly valuable for each instance, the instant that they remain, and that I need to use the quote-unquote time or quote-unquote experience length to do as much work under this set of circumstances as possible, or to just take it as it comes, because one day it will pass and there will be a new set of circumstances, and it might be that there might be a new set of circumstance on your day-to-day darkness period, on your lifetime darkness period, or on the entire society's darkness period. And I use the word darkness not as a judgmental thing, but as a way to make an emphasis that there's different social periods, different personal periods, and different life periods where one is doing different things. As always, I'd like each and every one of you for listening to this program. This program is An Emerging Forest, which is my personal, and sometimes when people call in or I have guests, my communal exploration of where the present society is, where I want to go with it, but I think about it. And then tonight was, as you listen, a sort of a development on the fly, being inspired and making connections. And I'm used to that from my writing, and I'm on LinkedIn as someone who has, I think, 275 short articles, where I just go into the article and I sort of have an inspiration and I don't really know where I'm going, and I come out the other end of the article having used it as sort of a stream of consciousness, and I find it very freeing because it's a stream of consciousness and the words actually just sort of go down on the paper from a place other than my front intention, go down on the paper, and I'm sort of watching them and watching the thoughts and sort of guiding them, but then again, not really. And some pretty interesting things happen in those articles, just like the semi-possibly interesting thing that happened tonight with the inspiration, and then connecting that inspiration to my wish to get into an area of more fertility. Well, this is the area of highest fertility because this is the now of my life, so it is the most fertile place. So my name, once again, is Alan Ritter, and my email address is RITTER.ALAN88@gmail.com. If you're interested in being a guest on my program, please correspond with me. if you're in the southeastern Pennsylvania or southern New Jersey area, local around Philadelphia or Camden, I have a small produce distribution business called The Produce Club. And please email me and or go to produceclub.us, and we can connect up if you're in that area and want to get service. If you want to look at what we do and you're not in the area, there's another page that has sort of the experience and what has happened in the experience. But you can definitely correspond with me, and I'll help you find wholesalers in your area. The system of produce distribution is the same everywhere in the United States, and I believe it's the same everywhere on the globe. So you can, if you can find five or six friends to share cases with, you can get some really, really good deals on produce and cut your fresh produce bills down by a factor of two or more. And in closing, I'd like to once again inspire you to be yourself and inspire you to find out who you are, inspire you to be aware of society and then say, who am I in relation to that? Because it's all about figuring out who you are and what you want to do and what you really need to do. And then however much of the day, however much of the year, however much of your life you are able to facilitate doing that process, and maybe even the walking of your self-discovery through a heightened awareness is the first part of the journey, and it might take many years. For me, heightening awareness of myself has taken, you know, 50 plus years. Here I am, just 56, 2 weeks ago, and going through these thought processes literally live on the air with you, discovering new things and discovering new patients with circumstance in small and large matters. So be kind to yourself, be kind to the circumstances in which you find yourself, be patient with hard times, be patient with be patient going into hard times. Understand that hard times have incredible value for you, and that they are to be not to be bunched up, and they're to be experienced. They're to be experienced. They're to be loved just as much as other circumstances. Even though we've been taught that we should act a certain way, have a really great week. Be yourself, and I'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Join us 7 nights a week for exciting programming covering a variety of expressions of faith. And remember, all manifestations of the divine are equally valid.